kept looking at me the other night saying, what, you have something? Who was standing with me? You were standing with me, weren't you? And somebody was standing with me on Wednesday. Was it Melissa? And I was saying, yeah, I do. What is it? I said, I'm not telling you. So then I go over to Josh. I said, Josh, pray for your wife. Pray for your wife. I said, okay, I only told Josh, I want to go fishing. If everything works out, I'll be gone on Sunday. So just pray. Everything worked out. We went fishing. We didn't catch fish, but we went fishing. Had a great time. But I knew you had it in you. I knew that what God had put inside of you was time to release. And through everything that you go through, is to bring clarity for others that are about to or are in it. See, nobody wants to receive a word like, you're about to go through a storm, baby. You start rebuking it, right? That ain't a word from the Lord. Oh, yeah, it is. But God is going to use it for his glory and for your good. I mean, you've been going through something, right? If you haven't, you're about to. I'm not prophesying it to you. Jesus says so in the word. When trouble comes, not if, when trouble comes. He said unto Peter, he says, Peter, the enemy, Satan himself, is asked to sift you like wheat. But I pray not to stop it, not to cancel his plans, but I pray that when you come to yourself, that your faith faileth not. Have we been praying for the storms to go away? What if the storm was necessary for you to get to where you need to be?
And I want to hurry up.
Say, hurry up, I want to get there. But what happens when we use our natural senses, our natural mind, to determine how we get there? What happens? Are we recording? Good. What happens when we take matters into our own hands? Everybody's like, if I were to show you your faces right now, you're like, The only reason why you respond that way is because you've done it before. Right? Every time it came out so successful, didn't it? It comes out more of a mess, isn't it? I got this message the other day. I was at the gym, and Hannah comes up to me. We're getting ready to work out. She said, what are you doing? Well, from a distance, it's going to look like I'm texting because I'm on my phone. I'm putting all my notes in there. I said, I'm getting my message. I said, your message for what? I said, when I get to the gym, I get all my messages. And it's because I'm in the sauna when it's real hot, and they start coming to me. And so I'm trying to text, and all, you know, sweat's coming down and everything. Oh, man, I got to go outside. So I go sit down outside. So I'm drenched, and I'm texting this message to my notes. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is just too much. I can't write it down fast enough. He says, just trust me. It's going to come to you when you need it. So I go to the coast, and we go fishing. And the wind at night was just so nice. It was nice and breezy for a little bit. You could see the stars. Remember, we're on the pier. We could see the stars so clear. I was like, oh, look, there's the Big Dipper. How many of you have seen the Big Dipper outside, right? It's like we can always see it. It's, oh, it's so nice. And as time went on, it was like, where'd the stars go? You couldn't see them no more, nor could you see the moon. All of a sudden, I said, it looks like there's something flying around. So Inez and I were thinking, oh, it's bugs. It's just the mist from the waves from behind us. But we couldn't see the stars anymore. How many of you have ever felt like what you are depending on to navigate you out of your storm all of a sudden disappears? So what we thought were bugs was the mist of rain that was coming. So, you know, fishermen that we are, we have like 25 poles out there. Nobody catching anything. So all of a sudden, it just starts raining. Starts coming down. So we have to hurry up and pack up everything, put it in this little trolley that I got, this little cart, and wheel it back to the car, get everything in there. And we look up, you can't see any stars. The wind got from a gentle breeze to a fast-blowing breeze. You can be standing in one circumstance in your life, and it starts off with a gentle breeze. And all of a sudden, it turns very, very, very strong, dark, cloudy. Where do your senses go? Fear sets in. How am I going to get out of this? Where is this going to lead me? So as I'm standing in the pier, I said, okay, God, I got your message. I got your message. I know that what you're telling me is, I've been trying to write everything down that I think that he wants me to minister. He said, but I'm going to show you what I need you to say. It's okay, God. So I went back to my study Bible, you know, like handy dandy study Bible that we have. All your notes are written on the side and highlighted and everything. So I went there. Sure enough, I knew God was saying, I need you to see something, son. That it's time for TNT. You know what TNT is, right? What is it? Huh? Dynamite? Is it TNT? Trouble and transition. Trouble and transition. It will happen. So the title of this message is TNT. Trouble and transition. It will happen. My question to you that I hope we answer tonight in this Bible study is, are you led by the Spirit or by your senses? The senses of your natural emotions and knowledge will cause you to make decisions based on what you see. Right? How many of you are troubleshooters in your job or even at home? Troubleshooters. Trouble arises, you figure out a solution on how to fix it, right? Okay. But that doesn't require faith. Well, maybe sometimes. Depends who you're dealing with. But you make decisions and you make plans to work out that problem, to overcome it, based on what you see. Is that faith? No, it's not faith. That's your natural senses that you're putting to use. You know, we go to classes. We pay all this kind of money to learn great leadership techniques on how to overcome adversity, how to troubleshoot a problem, and how to correct a problem, and to use the right tools to become successful. That's because we can see it. Faith is relying on the senses of the supernatural of God to instruct you how to do things His way and not what you see as a solution. Isn't that good? Let me read it again because it was so good. Faith is relying on the senses of the supernatural of God to instruct you how to do things His way and not what you see as a solution. That's faith. In other words, faith requires you to be still. I'm going to be still. Then all of a sudden we start thinking that being still means we're not going to do anything. That's not what being still means. It means you're going to actively be waiting, but still doing what God has told you to do. But you're still waiting on Him and being still for Him to give you instructions. How many of you have received just a little bit of instruction from God and whew, you take off? Right? You're going to start a business. Okay, I'm going to go start a business. Done deal. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to do it. And He didn't tell you what you're going to do yet. What kind of business is it going to be? I don't know. I'm just going to do it. God said, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to have my own business. But you don't know what you're going to do. What's a product? And then we go to scripture. Use what's in your house. I have a garage sale. Right? So you start figuring out things because you start using your natural senses to figure out how to overcome what you're facing to get a solution. That's not faith. That's your natural emotions. What do you do when things don't make sense? Cry. Throw tantrums, get mad, and this isn't God. It's like our voice changes. I think we become, you know, demonized. Okay, just me, not you. Okay, just me. When things don't make sense, I preach that message, when you just don't know. Now it's like when things just don't make sense. Just like I started talking about on Wednesday was when Abram was told by God to leave his house, to leave his territory, and go to a place that I will show you. That don't make no sense. It would make more sense where you say, I'm going because God said for me to leave here and to go there. There's a destination. That makes more sense, right? Or how about, how many times have you gotten in a car for your married couples in here? And I'll get to the singles in just a minute. For the married couples in here and say, let's go eat. Okay, let's go. Where you want to go? It don't matter. Whatever you want. Okay, let's go Chinese. Oh, I don't like Chinese. Let's go to Luby's. I don't want Luby's. But whatever you want. Have we been there? So we get in the car like we're getting ready to go. We know we're hungry. There's a driving force there, but we just don't know where we're going yet. Because what is happening is you haven't come to an understanding of what the taste buds in your mouth are telling you to do. I don't know what I'm going to eat, but I'm hungry. So we're at a standstill in the car looking at each other. What do you want? It don't matter. You ask me something hot. You want salad? That's not hot. Whew, I had a flashback. I don't like rabbit food too much. So we sit there just waiting till someone makes a decision. Right? Or do you get in the vehicle, turn the vehicle on, put it in drive, start driving, and trying to make the decision as you're driving? Oh, yeah. We all do that, don't we? Well, it should have been the correct way to just sit and wait till we made a decision where we're going. But we just start driving, going out the same way we always go, making the right or making the left like you normally go, and then try to, okay, where are we going to go? That should have been decided upon first, right? That would make more sense. But with God, how many times does he tell you where you're going to go? He just tells you, go. Okay. Where? Just go. All right, Captain. So then we start kind of looking for any type of navigational tools to get us. I don't know. How can you punch it in the GPS if you don't know where you're going? Right? And it's just like that with our faith. Is that, you know, some things that don't make sense should make sense. Abraham should have left his place to go to a place that God would have already told him, but he didn't. Not only did he do it, he had to take his wife with him. Had to take his wife with him. Just follow him. But what about, well, this is good. Well, let me get to the singles on this one. Let me get to the singles. Okay. You singles have a tendency to feel like God's just going to send you your wife or your husband. Just going to, boop, show up. He's going to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing according to his will. Then your husband will find his wife. Right? Yeah. No, and I don't mean just at happy hour time either. Well, fine. You know what? The Bible says when a husband finds his wife, he had to be looking for her. Right? That didn't mean that the wife was hiding. That meant that the wife was found doing. Oh, don't make me get there. For some people that just don't want to be married. I don't need no man. I can do things all by myself. Okay. Let the lights go out in the middle of the night. What you going to do then? And you're scared because here's your crick crick in the night. You hear some thump in the night. What you going to do then? Honey. Oh, there ain't no honey there. I don't need no man. What I'm just trying to tell you is you have got to be doing what you're supposed to be doing so that you can be found. If you could be at the grocery store, just don't be going in there in your pajamas, your slippers, and your curlers. You got to be going knowing that someone is in pursuit after you. You don't think that's truth? Let's talk about the 10 virgins that make no sense, right? They knew that he was coming, but not when. Some went prepared. Some had the Maybelline. Some had their eyebrows on fleek, whatever that means. Some had their eyelashes done, you know, the ones that they plaster in there. They were prepared. So if you're looking to find a man, since you're single, you're not going to find them in your home waiting on the Lord. You have got to be doing what God has told you to do. Well, I don't know what God told me to do. Well, that could be the reason why you're still single. You have to be a person of purpose. Same thing for the single man. Single man in here? Single man. Mama, did you see that, Mama? Did you see that, Mama? Boy, she looked at you like, well, don't even try it, son. Single man. That means you put that deodorant on. If you got cologne, you put that Fabergé, Brute, whatever. Shower. Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Match when you dress. You're not going to find your wife because when you think that's your wife, she's going to look at you like, uh-uh, don't even try it. I've been doing my business the way I was supposed to be doing it. I come to the grocery store and I come in my stilettos. I come looking right for my man. You're going to come up in here, don't even match, look at your clothes all wrinkled to begin. Did you even bother to even comb your hair? You've got to be doing. Right? You. Oh, and what I'm trying to say is that you don't want the man to be showing up looking with the handout like, you got a job so I don't have to work. No. We got to work at this thing right. When things just don't make any sense, like Elijah, when he was facing the prophets of Baal, it was during the time of a famine, a drought. So when they put the offering for the Lord to test whose God is truly God, what did he pour on the offering? During a drought. Can you imagine the people looking at the prophet? Hey. Where are you going with that water? I got to bathe in that tonight, and then we don't have that much. And you know it would take me 2 weeks to take a bath because I have to ration it out. What you doing pouring that water? That's a very sacred commodity at that time. So he pours it out. Things that just don't make sense. Don't make any sense. And did God tell Elijah to do it? Did he tell Elijah to do it? No, he didn't. Not to test them. He called them together. And then the boldness in Elijah began to stand up and say, you know what? Maybe your God is on the toilet. He says it. Read your word. Maybe you got to scream even louder for him to come. You know what? Let me just throw some water on here as well. Because my God is not only going to show up, he is going to do the impossible to show you how good he is. Right? So what does he do afterwards? Kills all the prophets of Baal. Now, things that just don't make any sense. God didn't tell him to do it, but he did it. Right? What about a young little boy who's a shepherd, who's in a band, who's very handsome, who takes cheese and bread to the front lines of a battle? And as he's carrying his little basket, gotta be a basket, I guess. I don't carry it. Was it pizza? Oh, and VeggieTales. Okay. I like it. And VeggieTales, it's pizza. So here comes the delivery boy delivering pizza to the front line. So the delivery boy says, I'll take him on. Does that make any sense?
No.
Going up against a trained warrior who many feared because he had killed so many, who had been taunting a trained camp of fighters. So the little boy with the pizza goes up. I'll take him on. Does that make any sense? See, a lot of things that if you look in Scripture, things that God is going to do to bring victory in your life, to transition you out of your troubles, will never make sense. Troubles happens because you're in transition. This one really got me. Okay, Joshua, you have just crossed over to the promised land. And now you see that big old wall around there, around that city there? Go walk around it. And matter of fact, take the marching band with you. Right? I mean, they're walking around this big old wall, and you would think that the natural mind would say, we got to figure out how are we going to, because from here, Joshua, I know that God spoke to you, but why are you playing all these instruments? We got to take this city. Right? Think about it. Does it ever make sense the way God makes you do something to transition you out of your troubles? Mm-mm. I said, God, that don't make no sense to me. I can walk around a wall just singing, and all of a sudden just say, break open the lamp and shout, and the walls come down. Right? Well, what about when things do make sense? Now, before this took place, before they ever crossed over, they sent over 12 spies, did they not? What was over on the other side? Giants, big ones. Big. So the 10 spies come back, the majority rules. Says, you know what? I'm going to tell you the truth. They're huge. They're big. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes. That's how small we are. That makes sense to me. I ain't going. If 10 of y'all are saying that they're giants, I can believe maybe one or two of you are scheming, but 10 of y'all, they big, so we staying right here. But only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, give me my mountain, give me my stuff. That don't make no sense. When 10 say no, but the two young ones say yes. The other 10, they don't know. Shoot, they don't know what they were using their natural senses. But what about when Abram was told by God, I will make you a father of many nations. Right? Father of many nations, but you ain't got no kid. I ain't got no kids, God. Make me a father, man. I ain't got no children. I'm old. She old. Watch what makes sense, right? Going to Hagar. Well, that makes sense. That's okay. Let's do that. Because that makes sense. Because if Sarah's not giving me a baby, I'm just going to go ahead and just, you know, if she said so I'm going to do it. I'm going to go ahead and do what you told me to do because I love you. So So now here comes the baby and here comes the baby. But that's not the one that God said. Do you see what I mean? Things that make sense, but it's not what you're supposed to do. Are you moving by the Spirit or by your senses? Because your natural senses will try to make you figure out how to make things happen. But faith tells you it's going to go against what you believe. It's going to go against what you've been taught. It's going to go against what you've been trained to do. Turn with me to Acts 27, please. Acts 27. We begin reading in verse 9. We're going to read a lot. Acts 27, verses 9 through 44. And when you're there, say, I got it, Pastor. What's the verse? Can't hear you. What? Acts 27, verse 9. Acts what? Verse what? Yeah, I like that. It sounded real good. We were in agreement. Let's do it again. Acts what? Oh, I love it. I love it. Verse what? Woo-wee, we going somewhere. All right, let's begin reading verse 9. Watch this. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, how many times have you been looking at things that become more dangerous as time passes? Because even the fast, the thing that we would utilize as a tool to get us out of our circumstance, was already over. Paul advised them, saying, Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only to their cargo and the ship, but also our lives. That's this, verse 11. But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to Paul. Right? You reading that? Now, wouldn't it make sense that, you know, you got this prisoner, Paul, along with these other prisoners, that you're going to listen to the captain and not the prisoner? I know I would have listened to the captain. Captain, what are we going to do, captain? But it says it was the pilot, the one that driving, the captain, and the owner of the ship. So there's already authority that's already been established. There's already a list of authority. One that knows what they're doing and the other that owns the ship, not the prisoner. Right? So if I was a centurion soldier, I'd say, you know what? I'm going to listen to what the captain says and the owner, because I'm only trying to catch a ride with Paul and these prisoners to get them where they need to be. I'm going to listen not to the preacher, big mistake, right? Yeah, you should be saying, you should listen to the preacher. But they listened to what their natural senses said to do. Verse 12, and because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix and harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. How many times have you been in a circumstance or a situation where the majority wants to speak? And you listen to the majority, when you should be listening to the ones that are being led of the Spirit, not their natural senses. Right? But isn't it kind of interesting that when you're going through something, you're usually alone? And you're looking for someone that is being led of the Spirit. Could someone give me some sort of insight, please? You got a word for me, Pastor? You got a word? Peace. Be still. How many times have we heard that one, Mama? Peace, be still. And peace of my mind. Be still. You don't know what I've been going through. Shoot. Rants do. I ain't got no AC. I'm going to be still. But the majority that are going through with you will make a decision even though you don't have a say. So it's always good to know who you're with, especially in the storm. Amen? Verse 13. Now when the south wind blew gently, gently. See that in verse 13? See, it blew how? Their hair was just blowing in the wind. The sun was just right. They had the SP 1000 on so they wouldn't get sunburned. And they're just sitting there just enjoying the cool breeze, even though they're prisoners. That's just... Supposing that they had obtained their purpose, woohoo! Can I just stop right there in verse 13? Just read it again. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing they had obtained their purpose, how many times have you felt like you've obtained your purpose in life when things aren't going so bad? Oh, you know what? I'm going to anchor right here because it ain't so bad. Right here is nice. I'm just going to anchor right here because this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to park myself right here because I have come into a season of rest. Right? Because it's only just a little wind blowing. That's all. This is nice. I can handle this. I'm going to make residence right here because I'm not being challenged. Oh, I'm not being attacked. This is a good place for me to set my anchors. So they weighed anchored and sailed along Crete close to the shore. Many times we want to get real close to something that we feel that as long as that we're going the direction we think is right. But if I can see land, I'm in a good spot. Let the ship just go ahead and have problems here. I can still see land. I can get to land. I'm not going to worry about it. But see, when you go against the things that God has told you to do through someone's insight and wisdom, you're never going to stay close to what you believe is going to be safety. He's going to take you further and further out. Verse 14. But soon Soon. Isn't it just like that when you start doing things your way? It starts off with only a little wind, but soon it changes into a tempest, a rough wind that starts blowing. You see, when me and my wife were sitting there on the pier, it was nice. Oh, I was just watching her hair just blow in the wind. You know, she's so pretty with the moonlight. The stars, how they glisten off of your face, and your eyes begin to gleam like the stars of the north. And I can make my wish upon the eyes that I see that God has truly given my soulmate unto me. That's good, I mean. So it was real nice. But then all of a sudden we looked up and we couldn't see the stars no more. That should have been a sign. But we were caught in the moment, looking and gazing into her eyes with the smell of fish all around us. But I still even looked at her and said, oh, you're so fine. Sweating because it's humid and everything. It's all right. It was just the glistening of the sweat that was coming down to show me the beautiful fragrant of her perfume that was being emitted into the atmosphere around me that caused me to fall into a deeper gaze into her eyes and say, it's time to go, baby, because it's about to rain. You're like, oh, man, that was good. Where was I? Okay. So the wind all of a sudden came even stronger, right? Called the northeastern, struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. How many times have you been in a circumstance in your life that you are being tested and you're going through a transition, but you felt that there was safety that you could see, that you could reach safety, but then all of a sudden the wind comes to drive you further away and you just go along with it. How many times have... Just me? It's just me, I know. It's me. It's just me, Josh. I just... If I can see the land, I can swim to it. Backstroke. Yeah. But if I get taken out there because the wind has driven me, Well, now I'm just giving way to it and being driven along. Driven along. That's one thing, that when you're in control, that you can steer and get way to a place you need to be. But when you're being driven along, you have no control. Who told him to go this way? The owner, this, and the centurion was getting Paul and these prisoners to another place. Paul, wisdom, spoke and said, we shouldn't do this. And he says to them, because there's going to be injury and much loss, not only to the cargo and the ship, but to also our lives. He gave warning. They didn't listen. How many times has God spoken to you not to do it, but you do it anyhow? Yeah. Well, okay, we're in a real church. We're in a real church. Because we want to do things our way. Because as long as it's in the Word, and I have to stand by the Word of God and His faith, I'm going to do this thing. But even though when wisdom has spoken to you, you don't want to listen to the voice of wisdom, you do it anyhow. Lord, what are we about to face? He says, let me show you what you're about to face. I said, oh, I don't want to read this no more, God. I'm already getting sweaty up here. Verse 16, running under the shelter of a small island called Clauda, we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. What does that mean? The ship's boat. The lifeboat. So here we go. I love this about God. I love this about God. He's going to allow you to feel like there's something that's going to sustain you or help you, even though you're in the mess that you're in. He's going to give you a lifeboat, a way of escape, right? So I started reading that. I said, oh, that's good, God. You allowed them to save the lifeboat. Sure, God. So after hoisting it up, they used supporters to undergird the ship. Then fearing that they would run aground on the Sardis, they lowered anchor. And thus they were driven along. Now here's this. Now you've raised the one thing that you feel, in case there's more trouble, I have a way of escape. So I raised it up. Now that I've raised it up, I secured it. I made things secure that I'm going to be able to be safe with this lifeboat. I should have been safe in the ship, but now I've been told before that even the ship and the cargo, even our lives, may suffer loss. Let me just keep that lifeboat close by because I'm going to use it to get away. Now they're driven even further along. Verse 18, Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to throw the cargo. How many of you have that kind of fear when you're going through something? You start throwing things that were there actually for you? Because you start making decisions based on your emotions. And the very thing that was there to help you is the thing that you got to get rid of. They start throwing the cargo over. Now, I've been in that situation where you feel like this, don't matter if I throw this over or not, everything is going to hell in a handbasket fast. Verse 19, watch this. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. That's one thing. When you start throwing things over, said, man, this just don't look good. Let's make this ship lighter so that we can get further along and maybe we can control it. See, their senses were kicking in. Now, these were the people that said, oh, you know what? I can make things happen. I can make things work in my favor. Watch this. Verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was last abandoned. Look, here's the stars. There goes the sun. So what they relied on as the owner of the boat and as the pilot, the captain of the boat, what they relied on for navigation and direction was no longer available. Isn't it something that when you're going through a storm, even the things that you can rely on to help you get through it is taken from you? Whew, oh, this is the devil. Oh, I bind that devil. And the devil ain't even anywhere near this. It was a choice you made. How many choices have you made that's put you in a storm? Did you start to bind it? Did you try to bind it, cast it, name it, proclaim, whatever you could do, right? Try to get rid of it, and nothing changed. shoe. All hope of our being saved was last the band. That's it. I'm done. I can't be saved now. This storm is just too bad. I done thrown over all the cargo, all the fishing tackle. Can't fish for food now. It's done. I am really done. Okay, now watch this. Verse 21. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not set sail and incurred this injury and loss." Isn't it something when you're going through something, that's the last thing you want to hear is, "I told you so"?
Yeah.
I done told you we shouldn't have gone, but you didn't want to listen to the preacher. You want to listen to your own intuition and what you thought you knew you could handle. Right? Are y'all reading the same story as I am? Paul, you know you want to go ahead and stand up and just knock the you know what out of him. What do you mean you're going
to
tell me, "I told you so"? And then you're like, you're looking at him, the prisoner, Paul, the prisoner, amongst the other prisoners. You in jail. And you want me to listen to you? Don't get it twisted, because you know Paul's a prisoner in this. He's a prisoner. And we're supposed to listen to the prisoner. There's no prisoner. You're the one who got yourself in this mess, too. I'm the one who had to take you over there and take you, and you have to go and face what you got to face. But you... Where's 22? But this is what he says. This is awesome. This is awesome. "But now, I urge you to take heart." First of all, you don't make me mad by telling me "I told you so." And now you're saying, "Oh, but now take courage. For there will be no loss of life among you." Wait a minute. You're calling yourself a liar then, because you said we're going to lose life as well. But now you changed it. Think about these people. They don't even talk about what the prisoners are saying during this time. The prisoners are in there. They're in this ship. They're like, "Hey, wait a minute. Wait, whoa. I know I did some wrong. You know, I shouldn't have stolen those grapes at HEB, but I stole them. But yeah, I got caught. I ate 3 donuts instead of paying, you know." So they did wrong. Ever done wrong? And you know you're done wrong. And so you belong where you're at. But they didn't ask for this either. So imagine if it would have been the prisoners writing this Bible. Prisoners be like, "Paul, shut your mouth. You in here with us. You keep saying all this stuff. I told you so. I told you. You in here with us. You should have known better. But you in here with us. How is this going to change matters? We're in the middle of something right now. And you telling us that we shouldn't have. How is it going to change things?" Now imagine Paul looking at them and says, "You know what? I'm going to tell you how. I'm going to tell you why I know." What is this? Verse 23. Oh, watch this. Verse 22. "I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you." Watch this. "But only," what? "The ship." Is that good news? Is that good news? You're in the ocean? Hey, guess what, guys? Y'all gonna make it. The only thing that's gonna be lost is the ship. Now, you know, at this point, they really want to think, "Man, you've been hitting that bottle a little bit too hard, Paul. You've been smoking that tweed." Joke. But look, only the ship is going to perish. That's it. And I imagine looking at Paul, he probably said it with a smirk. "We're going to be all right. Only the ship is going to perish." They're like, can you imagine the ones that couldn't swim? No life preservers. They only had one little boat. So you think now all of a sudden you got a word from the Lord. We're not going to perish. Amen. Only the ship. Hoy. Amen. You know, we're still out here in the ocean, right? And there's sharks. jellyfish. I can't even see the bottom. It's just like that when fear starts rising up in the midst of you receiving a word, that you start dissecting that word and you start looking at it as a very negative word because you don't like the way it's turning out on your behalf. That's good. I know it was. When it went past, it was good. All right, look at here. But only the ship. For this very night, there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. Did y'all read that in verse 24? Did y'all get that? No. You missed it. You're in the storm. I'm going to tell you, you're going to survive this storm only to face a bigger storm. So the angel of God came and stood before him and said, Paul, be encouraged, be a good cheer. You're going to make it because you got to go and face Caesar. You know, at that point, he's looking at that angel. You done lost your mind. I'm in this storm and you're telling me I'm going to make it only to face a bigger storm? This isn't the will of God. Come on. Be real Christians in here. Because every time we're going through something, this can't be God because this don't make no sense. I should not be going through what I'm going through. I'm a child of God. No, that's why you're going through it. Because you are a child of God. He never said that his children will not suffer. Matter of fact, he said, oh, by the way, when they come against you and they talk about you, they lie about you, and they want to threaten to kill you and they want to behead you, it's not because of you, it's because of me. Oh, that makes me feel real comfortable, Jesus. Was there a disclaimer? There was a disclaimer. I missed the disclaimer. I missed it. Watch this. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sell with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. It will happen the way he said. Now he's standing firm on it. An angel first comes to him and tells him, you're in a storm? Don't worry about it. You're going to make it out of this one, but you're going to face a bigger one. I don't know about you. I kind of think, well, you know what? Why? Cut it. I ain't doing this no more. Cut it. I don't want this no more, God. Cut it. And then he tells them in verse 26, but we must run aground. Well, when you tell people they're on a boat, what he's saying is we must wreck. We must hit something and run aground. First of all, Paul, you've already told me that it was going to be suffer of loss of cargo and our lives. Now, we've been going through all this mess. We've been trying to figure things out. We've been using what we've been taught, what we would learn to do in well, I don't know what kind of school. They were merchant school, I guess. They'd go to merchant school to learn how to be merchants out in the sea. So they learn how to do all that tackle and how to stock everything up. And now you're telling me that everything that I've been doing up to this point is not working? What I've been trained to do has nothing to do with how I'm coming out? Regardless of how much I work and put to use what I've learned, is not going to change the outcome of this. Isn't that something? I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. Well, the fast just ended. And you're still in it. Yeah. For all those spiritual people in here, I'm going to fast until this thing is over. You ain't going to be eating for a while. Watch this. I love it. Paul is something else, man. Whew. Now, verse 27. When the 14th night had come, and as we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land, so they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther on, they took another sounding and found 15 fathoms. What were they doing? They could tell they were getting close to something. So they start trying to search how close we are. How many times have we done that when we're going through our storm? We try to figure, oh, we're getting close now. It's getting so bad, we're about ready to cross over. Oh, if things are getting so bad, the enemy's trying to get you to quit because we're so close to our breakthrough. Yeah, the breaking point is about to happen. Watch this. You got that? Okay. Verse 30, watch this. Let me finish 29. And fearing that we might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. How many times have we been in there? We said, you know what, God, I just can't take it no more. I just want to see the sun again. I've been in my darkest hours. I'm just tired of it. And then verse 30 happens. As the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship and had lowered the ship's boat, the lifeboat, in the sea under pretense of laying out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion soldier, who? The centurion, the one that said not to listen to him, that he was going to listen to the owner and to, you know, the captain. Watch this. Unless these men stay on this ship, you cannot be saved. I'm trying to escape right now. I have a boat enough for me and the soldiers to get away. Y'all going to perish, but not me. But now Paul, the prisoner, is telling the centurion, his guard, oh, tell the sailors, matter of fact, that if they leave this ship, they're going to die. And you will too. Listening to a prisoner. Have you ever been a prisoner to your own circumstance? Now, we know about the being in the boat that Jesus told the disciples to get into. This isn't that storm. This isn't that boat. This is different. What do you do when you're in a ship or a circumstance in a storm that Jesus didn't send you to? It was done on your own. Done by your emotions. You know, the angered emotions that we respond to. Ah, this isn't God! You know how we get those little itty-bitty eyes? Because you're going to make the devil scared of you now. Like Clint Eastwood, go ahead and make my day. Right? Watch this. The devil's like, hey, you did this to you. I ain't had nothing to do with this. you did this. Watch this. Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers, what'd they do? They cut it. They cut it. What'd they do? They cut it. And then what'd they do? They let it go. See, it's not until you let go of everything that you think is going to save you. Not even the ship that you're in is going to save you, because that's not God. The only thing that is going to be your saving grace is listening to the word of the Lord in your circumstance. Mm-mm. Cut everything away. And everybody is going to make it except the ship. Now, you don't tell me that, and I just cut away this lifeboat. Are you seeing this? I'm telling you, when I read scripture like that, I don't know how in the world you can read that. I'm sorry. Sometimes the word of God is so small in our life, like the fine print, that we don't catch it all. It needs to be magnified in our life. How does it become magnified? It becomes real. And you live it out. You're going to get rid of things that you think are going to save you in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your transition. And then the reality is, you got to let everything go. You got to let go of all those offenses. You got to let go of all that unforgiveness. You've got to let go of everything that's inside of you that is keeping you from getting further than you are, because those are the very anchors that are keeping you in that place, that are keeping you in that storm. You've got to cut it and you got to let it go. You've got to let forgiveness take place in your life. You got to forgive others and you got to move into the freedom that He's called you to walk in. But you've got to cut it and let it go. You have to reach deep down inside your soul into the very area of your life that you don't want to deal with and let God get in that very crevice to bring healing to your life. You've got to cut these things off, because if not, it'll anchor you in your storm. Woo. For those on the podcast, what was that? I just dropped the mic, baby. That's it. But, I mean, think about it. You know, I could be crying through this whole mess. You got to cut it. You got to forgive people. I don't want to forgive them. You're going to stay. That's the anchor that's keeping you right in the midst of your storm. But they wounded me. That's the other anchor that's going to put on the other side of you that's going to make sure you stay. But you don't understand. I've been trying to help people. That's the other anchor, because you think that it's your works that's going to get you to where you need to be. But God, I have no other excuses. That's the other anchor. Because you should have trusted me in the beginning. But I'm going to make you stay so that you can realize that everything that's around you is based on what you have done yourself. You can't blame the devil. You're going to curse God? I curse you and I just playing, God, just get me out of this thing. I was certain to... Right? Because all of a sudden our prayer changes when everything else seems like it's going so bad. You can't make changes. You can't make things go away. He starts telling you, you got to cut it loose and let go. We all have scissors. I don't know where I'm at in the midst of my storm. So I will just anchor in it as opposed to being driven through it. Watch this. This is good. You know, Paul is something else. Verse 33. As day was about to dawn. Oh, this is beautiful. Now here comes the sun that they were praying for. Paul urged them to take some food, saying, today is the 14th day and you have... continued in suspense and without food and have taken nothing. Well, sit down. Who made you the spokesman for all of us here? Think about it. This whole time that you've been talking, it's been getting worse. Right? Who's talking? The preacher. So every time you get to church and here comes a message and you think, yes, I'm coming out of my... And it gets worse. So you come to church, you look at Pastor Marty like, shoot, ain't listening to you, because every time you've been telling me, you've been prophesying to me. You've been prophesying to me about this, prophesying about this. You ain't prophesying, you're a prophet lying. I don't want to hear another word. Huh? Yeah, I'll tell myself. I look at myself in the mirror. Quit prophesying, son. Am I going to get out of this guy? Because the messages you've been giving them, they've been hitting me between the eyes too, God. He says, cut it. I already cut it, God. I cut it with my teeth. I didn't care. I had no scissors. I was gnawing at it. I didn't want nothing to do. I forgave everybody. I forgave my dog, my cat, my fish. I ain't even got a fish, but I forgave my fish. I went through a whole list of people I had to forgive, God. I don't want to be in this mess no more. But I know that every time I get to church, God, you speak to me. What I need to hear, not what I want to hear. It's all right. It's good. So he urged them. I urge you. Take some food. You understand, when I'm in my situation right now, I don't even have an appetite. Well, not me. Maybe some of y'all, I eat. Some people get stressed. I can't eat. Well, shoot, I'll take your portion. Bring it over here. Give me that cover. You don't know where we're going to eat? Get in the car. I know where we're going to eat. We're going to go to buffet, baby. I don't care where it is. But watch this. So he urges them to eat. And this is what I love about this. This is what I love. Verse 34. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. For not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you. That's a strong word right there. Not only did he say you're not going to perish, but not one hair. Now he's making a very bold statement that you're, everything about you is going to be sustained. Watch this. But it's what you eat. When you eat. Before the transition. What did he say to Joshua? Prepare your victuals, for in 3 days you're about to cross over. Watch this. Here's the turning point right here. You need to eat. I urge you to eat. Matter of fact, not even a hair on your body will suffer. I was, okay, that's fine. I'm going to eat. Watch. Verse 35. And when he had said these things, he took bread, giving thanks to God in the presence of all. He broke it and began to eat. Isn't it something when you can do communion in the midst of your storm? Whew. Don't miss this. This is a nugget right here. There's a nugget for your circumstance. When you can begin to commune with God, take communion with him in the midst of your storm instead of throwing your tantrums. Ooh, yeah, I didn't like that one. They didn't like that one, Josh. They didn't like that one. I want to throw my tantrum if you don't mind. Then when I'm done, I'll eat my bread. Right? Because it feels better to vent. I'm going to let it all out. He says, when you finish all your pouting and your tantrums and crying, come commune with me. And after you come commune with me, I'm going to change your circumstances. Amen. Right? Amen? 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 Let's read this and then we'll see if you're saying amen. Verse 36, then they were all encouraged. They ate some food themselves. We were all 276 persons in the ship. Why would he add that number? Why would he add the number? Up until this point, he didn't have to give the number. But he tells you this for a reason. Paul is on this ship that has to make it to go before who? Caesar. This is going to help somebody. The reason why things have not shut down around you and the reason why things are still happening the way they're happening is because the purpose in your life is still going to be fulfilled. Oh, my God. The things that are happening in your life are not going to cease or take you out because the purpose in your life must be fulfilled. Lord, what did I just tell you? Is it the word of the Lord that came to you maybe 15 years ago? Does not mean it's not going to happen. Means it's going to happen. You just got to go through what you're going through so that you can cut some things off of you and let it go so that you can transition out of your trouble and get to the place of your next trouble, because it only builds more character about you to show the nature of God in you in your circumstance. That's some good stuff right there, Marty. You should be preaching that all over the place. I'm going to. This is good. We were all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship, throwing out wheat into the sea. Here's your second nugget. See verse 38? Did you see it? Am I saying something that's not true? What'd they throw into the sea?
Weed.
Seed. In the midst of your storm, after communing with God, it is your opportunity to sow seed even when you're going through. You seed your way out of your storm. I don't have enough for my bill. Seed, give, throw, give it. Because God is going to see it come to pass in your life because you trusted him in the midst of your storm. They seeded in the middle of their storm. What do? They cast the wheat into the sea. Why into the sea? Well, they couldn't put it in bags and save it. Everything had to be cast in. And I believe when I read that, is the more seed that I put in the midst of my storm, it's only letting me know that God will rebuke the devourer for my sake. Now I have a word that I can fight with. What happens to many believers is they stop sowing in the midst of the storm. Communion in the midst of trouble and sowing seed in the midst of your storm. There's two nuggets right there. Verse 39. Now, when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay which with a beach on which they planned, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudders, then hoisting the foresail for the wind. They made it for the beach. Watch this. Verse 41. Here you go. Verse 39 is talking about everything they knew to do to get to the beach. Everything that they knew that would make it possible for them to arrive safely to the beach. Watch this. Here's the word coming to pass. Just like God said. Verse 41. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. What was happening? Exactly what God said. The ship is not going to make it, but all of you will. So I'm going to take communion and trust God. I'm going to sow seed. But now you're about to run aground. And the very thing that you felt shelter in while you were in the storm is now about to be taken away from you. And you're really going to have to trust me. Isn't that something? Here we go. We started this whole thing while we were on a fast. It didn't change the circumstance. I took communion and it still didn't change. Now I even put seed into the ground. I sowed in money, God. Yeah. Oh, it's about to change. But not the way you think. It's not going to happen the way you planned. It's not going to be the way you would perceive it to be that God would do it. It's going to be his way, not your way. He's still going to do it. It says, so the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners. Oh, hold up. In desperation, doesn't it seem like people turn against you in the midst of your storm? All they want to do is kill their very dream, motivation, hope, and your faith while you're in the midst of your storm. Poor prisoners. Can you imagine Paul? What's this? Lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, because he has to go see Caesar, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim, jump overboard! Hold up, wait a minute. I'm a prisoner. If I jump overboard, they already want to kill me. That's going to give them a reason to kill me. Because they're going to think I'm escaping. See what reason does? You see what our senses tell us? So he tells them, go ahead, jump overboard. Watch. Like the ones that needed their life preservers. And make it for the land. And the rest of the planks are on pieces of the ship. I know you can't swim, but the ones that can swim, jump overboard. Oh, the ones that can't swim, find whatever you can find. Pieces of the ship that was once your hope of survival. How many times is the fragments in your life, the fragmented faith is what carries you over to your next destination? It's not the full faith. It's the fragments of your faith that take you to your next transition, to your next destination. By the way, you prisoners, you're going to make it and you're still going to fulfill your sentence. What kind of hope is that? You're prisoners, but you're going to make it and still be a prisoner. Isn't that something? By the way, if you don't know how to swim, if you can find pieces of the boat, just jump on. What were they having to hold on to? What Paul said. Not one hair on your body. Nothing will be harmed. Could you hold on to that one word in the midst of your storm? Could you? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I can. Okay, you're giving the Christian response. I will wait upon the Lord. I will fast. That didn't help. I will have communion. That didn't help. I'm going to sow seed. That didn't help. I'm going to dog paddle all the way over there if I have to, but I'm going to make it to the other side. You see, your determination has to be greater than what your fear is. Your fear will keep you thinking that you're not going to make it, but your determination says, I'm going to hold on to that word, then if whatever's out there is going to get me there. Whew. The broken pieces of your faith will help you in your transition to your safety. Has your faith been rocked? Have you had issues going on in your life that have challenged you? James 1, verses 2 through 8 says this, the testing of your faith. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Whew. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Verse 6 says, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. I want to tell you that this storm that you are going through, it is there and it's going to happen the way he said it's going to happen. You're going to make it to the other side. You're going to come out of it. He's going to do it. It may not look like the way you want it to look, but he's going to make it happen the way he said it's going to happen. You're going to make it. You're going to survive. It's not going to smell like the way you think it's going to smell like. It may not even have the very atmosphere of God in it, but you are going to make it because it's going to happen the way he said it was going to happen. It's going to come out and do what he said it was going to do. He's going to send his word to its destination. And he'll get you. Every single one of them made it to the island. Not one of them perished. What perished? The very thing that God said. The ship. Now, is this particular story in the Bible just because you have to take communion, fast, and sow seed? No, you've been putting hope in a ship. You've been putting hope in something that has been carrying you along the way in this season of your storm. But when God says, now it is time to come out of what you've been comfortable in, I am now going to destroy what has been bringing you shelter and peace and comfort for a minute, where you're going to have to trust me in this next move. It may not look like the way you thought it was going to look like. It may not be what you thought it was going to be, but trust that God is going to do it the way he said he was going to do it. You may not have an understanding, but he's going to destroy what you were once in is no longer going to be there. Whew. So do you put your hope and trust in the ship? If you were out in the ocean, you would. So your whole hope and faith is if that ship doesn't break up, I'll make it. So what happened? The land came and they could see the land. Oh, now let's use our senses. Let's cut the anchors loose. Let's cut all the ropes loose. Let's raise the sails. Let's get there faster by the way of our senses. It ain't going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. You can use all your senses to make this transition faster, but it ain't going to happen that way. You are going to run aground. It's going to challenge your faith. It's going to make you think that you truly didn't hear from God, because it's not going to make sense. But in the end, it will happen the way God said. How many of you have received the word from God concerning your destiny, and you have yet to see the destiny be fulfilled? It should be everybody. Because if your destiny is fulfilled, time to go home. I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that the wind that has risen upon the body of Christ is to remove every false security and every false word that has been infiltrating the church, that has been infiltrating the minds of the people, to remove it, shatter it, and to make them truly trust on the true word of God, that will get them to that place and say, truly, God was with us in this storm. Paul represented the Holy Spirit in this. Paul was the representation of the third person of the Trinity. I will stand and tell you, I told you not to, but I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to tell you what you must do, and I'm going to give you insight to what the kingdom of God requires. But in the end, it's not going to go the way you think. But I will do what I promise you that I will do. I will preserve you. I will keep you. And I will bring you safely so that you can face your next trial. Because it doesn't end with that trial. They intensify. Things get harder. It requires your faith to increase. You think by the last mistake that it canceled everything? No, your mistakes are only going to make you closer and cry out more to Him. He's right there with you the whole time. The Holy Spirit in this particular message here is telling you, I just want you to understand that even in the midst of the storm that you may be chosen yourself or somebody else chose, you're going to make it. This is for that person that didn't choose this voyage. They didn't choose to be on this ship. They were imprisoned by maybe actions that they have done previously, but they still have to get someplace. They have to get to where God has them. It's not easy. It doesn't feel good. It's going to require faith of you to hear God's instructions and trust that He's going to get you there. Amen. Stand to your feet. With your eyes closed, your head bowed, please. As Josh is playing right now, I want to pray for those that have been in this storm. They've been doing everything that they know to do and relying on their own senses, relying on everything they've been trained to do, whether it be in the Word and everything else, using the Word to fight with it. But something new and fresh is on the horizon that is making them do something different, that requiring them to have faith that they cannot see how this thing is going to turn out. This word was for you. This was for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for each and every individual under the sound of my voice that is saying yes to you, Lord. I've learned what I've learned. I've done what I know to do. But in all else, when I've done everything that I can do, I will stand. I will stand trusting that you will speak and give me clear instructions on what to do. Even if it is that one word, that I will not perish. Lord, I will stand and wait to hear your word. If you send the angel of Almighty God to speak and say, you will make it through the storm only to face another. Lord, I still give you praise because you're making it a way for me to make it through the storm. And Lord, I thank you that even it started out gentle and it turned out to be a very tempest blowing wind, hard with gale force winds. Lord, I thank you that I have grown in my faith. My faith, when it was just gently blowing, was not tested until it increased in strength. And as it increased in strength, God, I thank you that even my faith increased in you. My trust and hope was relied upon you. And Lord, for every individual that is saying yes to you, that they trust you, and at your very word, God, that it will happen the way you said it would happen. Just as you said it would happen, it is going to happen. You're not a God that shall repent, and you're not a man that shall lie. I thank you, God, that I serve a living God, not a God that is made by hands, not a God that is formed in the stars, but a God that created the heavens and the earth and created the stars, the moon and the sun. I serve a God that created me. And I thank you, God, that you will see me all the way through to my destiny. Father, I release the peace of Almighty God into their hearts and into their circumstance. And Lord, I thank you that you will bring them all the way through and you will do it just the way you said you would do it. That we will reach our destination the way you see fit for us to get there. Lord, I thank you for it. I speak encouraging words into their spirit and into their heart. And let their minds be renewed in you. Say that they have hope once again, because they trust and believe that you're the one seeing them all the way through. Lord, I thank you that the many words that were spoken to many years ago, many weeks ago, many months ago, maybe days ago, God, you're watching it. You're looking over that word so that it will be performed in its season and in its place where you sent it to be. I thank you, God, that you've ordered our steps to chase after it. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you would just lift up your hands right now. You know there's some things that you've got to cut away. You know some things that you got to cut loose that are anchoring you in this storm. Now is that very time to cut it loose. Cut it loose. And I invite you to come to this very altar right now so that you can cut it loose. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch upon their hearts, touch upon their minds. What they must cut loose, Father, let them come to the altar of change where they can place it on the altar, God, and let it go. We thank you for it now, Father. We thank you for it now. That we let it go and we cut it loose, God. We cut it loose. Let us not be anchored in our storm, God, but let us cut it all loose. Whether it be unforgiveness, whether it be harboring right now, Father God, the anger and the bitterness of what was done to us, whether it be a violation, whether it be something that has caused us to feel like something has gripped me at a young age, but I don't know what it is. Let that be the very thing that we cut loose right now. We're going to let it go. Those that have wounded you, those that have lied about you, talked about you, that have come against you, that have labeled you something that you're not. I cut that loose right now. Cut it loose. Cut it loose. They try to make you feel like you're less than who I called you to be. You're going to let all those words go. You're going to cut it loose. In the midst of my storm, I'm going to let every word that tried to frame me into something that I'm not, I'm cutting it loose right now. I'm not that individual. I'm not that person. I am not ugly inside. I'm beautiful. I'm wonderful and beautifully made in His image. I'm letting it all go and I'm cutting it loose. I'm not a failure. You called me to success. Maybe my marriage has failed, but I'm not a failure. Maybe I failed as a mother or as a father, but I'm not a failure. Maybe I failed as a son or a daughter, but I'm not a failure. We all make mistakes. But Lord, I cut it loose. I let my attitude that has caused me to be bitter and angry and upset and to be standoffish, I cut it loose. I let it go. I release it unto you now so that I don't stay in my storm. I release this attitude. I let it go. The bitterness and the anger, I let it go. My unforgiveness, I let it go. I let it go. This is the very hour of your visitation with the Father. Put Him in your mind that He's coming to you saying, give it to me. Willingly give it to me. Give me what has anchored you in your storm for many years. Some things that you didn't even know were there began to manifest in the past couple of months. And you're wondering, where is this coming from? Where has this come from? Where does it stem from? Even though you don't know where it came from, I need you to give it to me. I'm your Heavenly Father, and I will come into you. You will no longer be rejected, but you are accepted by me. You're accepted by many, but do not look for the approval of man. I've already approved you. Give me that rejection. Give me that abandonment. I will be your mother and I will be your father. I will never leave you nor forsake you. My plans that I have for you are to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future in me. Give me all of your pain. Give me all of your brokenness. Because in your brokenness is where I can allow my blood to flow through, to fill the very crevices that the enemy has used as a weakness to the very foundation of your faith. Those crevices, those cracks are the things that make you feel like you begin to doubt. I speak now the very healing virtue of God into your heart, into the crevices of your heart and into your soul. The foundation of your faith, I speak unto it now. Lord, touch them right where they're at. Your unbelief. Why has this continued on in my life? Why is it not going away? Why is it not turning around? Why are things not changing? You have this attitude towards God. Like, why do I believe? Why do I continue on? But it's that faith deep down inside that says, you can make it to the very end. I will do it as I said I would do it. I will heal when I said I would heal. I will deliver when I said I would deliver. I will change and transform and bring reformation to you. I will put you back into the original state that I intended for you. You are not who your circumstance says that you are. Cut it loose. Cut it loose. Give it to me. Give it to me. Quit running to the substance. Quit running to things. Quit running. Run to me. I will give you peace in the midst of your storm. Run to me. I've beckoned you to come. I've called you to come closer. I've called you to come up. I've called you to come up closer to me. You got to let it all go. Give it to me. Give it to me. I beckon you to give me all your pain, all your hurts, all your discomfort. Give it to me. I am your daddy that wants to take it all away. But you got to cut it loose. Give it to me. Give it to me. My desire as a father is to see you happy. To see the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Let my love permeate you. Let my love fill you. Let my love cast out all fear. Let my love be the very driving force, the runner that will steer you in the direction of your destiny. But you got to cut away some things. Give it to me. Give it to me. My people are perishing. Give me your hurts. Give me your disappointments. Give me everything. Open your heart unto Him. Give me everything, God. I've made a mistake. I've made a mistake. Help me. I can't undo what I've done, God. But you can turn it for my good. Give it to me. Give it to me. Lord, I trust you. All my faith, the trust is in you, God. Your word is true. You will do as you said you will do. And it will happen the way you said it would happen. I have to trust you in this. But first, I got to give you everything that has anchored me in my storm. And I give it to you now. I give it to you. And I thank you for it right now. I thank you for my liberty. I thank you for the freedom in the spirit, the renewing of my mind, and the refreshing of my soul. I thank you for the cleansing waters, oh God, to cleanse me. Wash over me. Purify my soul. I surrender to you, God. I surrender my will. It's not my will. It's your will that I want. Forgive me, for I have sinned against you, God. Because when I doubt in my heart, I have sinned against you. When I have doubt and confess with my mouth the doubt, I have sinned against you. And I ask you to forgive me. I confess this unto you. As a woman of God, as a man of God, as a child of God, as a servant of God, and as a leader of the kingdom, I repent. I ask you to forgive me. And I thank you, God, that this yoke is destroyed right now off of my life. This yoke of oppression and depression is destroyed. It's broken off of us. We are set free. And God, I thank you that we will see the very fruit of this night in our life. Because tonight was a night where you met us in the midst of the storm. Where you have sent the angel to speak and say, you will not perish, but you shall survive to face even another. But you'll take from this experience that my presence is with you and will go before you and with you in your next. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I'm set free. I'm thanking you that every plan of the enemy is already canceled. Even my plans that are not your plans, they're canceled. My ways that are not your ways are canceled. But I surrender to your ways. I surrender to your will. And Lord, we thank you for your guidance. And we thank you that you lead us to a place that is higher than I. To a place that we can see truly our God has delivered us from the clutch of the enemy. We thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. 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 When you return to your seat, I want to make sure that you have cut it and you left it at the altar. Don't pick it up. When you go right outside those doors, it's waiting for you. It's waiting for you. Your freedom and your hope is right there. It's waiting for you. But so is the enemy. Let it all at the altar and leave it there. Leave it there. Don't pick it up. Don't pick it up. Leave it there. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. This elder is handing out the envelopes for your tithes and offering. I don't want to keep you too long. I know we went a little bit over. But on your way out, I want you to deposit your seed in the midst of your storm. Deposit that seed. Release that seed. But don't just drop it and go. Thank him for it and release it. Amen. We'll see you on Sunday. God bless you. We love you. Amen.